Amen. Praise the Lord for that. I know that He knows our names because He wants a personal relationship with each one of us. Isn't that a blessing? Joshua chapter 22. Joshua chapter 22 on Wednesday nights. I love Bible characters and what God has recorded in the Bible for us to study concerning Bible characters. There's so much there that we can learn from Old Testament Bible characters as well as New Testament Bible characters. And we're coming somewhat to the end of our study on Joshua, the man Joshua, and then be in prayer that Lord lead me to the right character going into after this Bible character study. And there's so many, but I will continue to do it, character studies on Wednesday nights, because it's just so helpful, I think, and very practical truths that we learn from their testimonies that God has recorded for us. Joshua is, we studied him since he was a young man. Now he's an old man, and God has to remind him he's old, and so he accepts that, and he now has been recommissioned, if you will. He had finished what he was doing before in the battles and leading Israel's army and battling, and then, of course, God allowed him to be the one to lead them into the promised land and to conquer the kings of the promised land, give the land now to the nation of Israel. And so after the physical battles were over, then God is using the wisdom that he would have received in those years, as well as the confidence of the people, the men and the soldiers, and who he would be able to give the land to. And of course, he was being used of the Lord, directed by God to divide the inheritance up and give them borders for each one of the tribes. And so we found that he had finished dividing up the land last week, and as he finished dividing up the land, he established a place for the tabernacle so that they would have the place of worship before, of course, later on. We know that God would use Solomon to build the permanent temple in the promised land, but until that time, they would have the tabernacle that would be established. Of course, they had that as they moved through the wilderness and to the promised land. But now has it established to establish the worship in the land. And after all that, the last thing we studied was that he received his land. He received his inheritance. And that's a blessing there, because God had a blessing of inheritance for him, but Joshua didn't mention it, didn't even think about it until after he had taken care of everybody else. Had a servant's heart, a servant's mentality. And then God blessed him. And even after he blessed him with that land, we find that he had a testimony for the rest of the nation of Israel as far as how to build the land, how to conquer the land, how to possess the land of God. So he was wanting to be a testimony to the others. And now we find here in chapter 22, Joshua addresses the 2.5 tribes whose inheritance was on the other side of Jordan. They actually received their inheritance from Moses before they would actually cross the Jordan. And in order to have their inheritance on the other side of Jordan, then they would have to make a vow, a commitment, to fight with the rest of the nation of Israel until everyone had their inheritances. And so now we come to that place where everyone has their inheritance. And so we find here that Joshua now addresses the 2.5 tribes that their land is on the other side of Jordan. So let's study this together tonight. Joshua chapter 22, go ahead and stand with me. We're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 5. This is what God tells us about this point in history when it was time for the 2.5 tribes to now to return to their land and to establish it as God wanted them to establish it on the other side of Jordan. Verse 1, then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh, and saith unto them, ye have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice and all that I commanded you. Ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren, as he promised them. Therefore now return ye, and get you into your tents and into the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of Jordan. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you, and again, we thank you for midweek services that we can assemble and study the Word of God and to hear again from our Lord and have your Spirit bear witness with our spirit and speak to us concerning things that only you know that we have need to hear and apply. And so I pray tonight, God, that each and every one that's here tonight would put everything else out of their hearts and their minds and just let's focus on this passage of Scripture and this part of the testimony of the life of Joshua, and I trust be helped by it. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. 40,000 soldiers. Now, sometimes we read the Bible and we just kind of fail to realize all that's going on with what God has recorded for us. This is historical truths. The 2.5 tribes would have made up 40,000 soldiers. If you study all the different things that God had revealed about the 12 tribes and about all the, you would find that of all the soldiers that they had, these 2.5 tribes would have been 40,000. They had been fulfilling their vows to God as they had committed to Moses on the other side. And of course, Moses represented God. God revealed to Moses what he needed to reveal to the 2.5 tribes. If they wanted that land, if they wanted to be on that side of Jordan, then they would need to make this commitment to the rest of the tribes of Israel so that they would be united in the fight and the victory in the promised land. And so they had committed to that, some 40,000 soldiers. It had been 7 years. 7 years in from the beginning to this particular place. That's how long it had taken to do everything that had been done to this point. 7 years of honoring a commitment to stay separated from their families. This was a sacrifice that they would have to make. It was not the will of God for anybody to be separated from their families, but in order to accomplish what needed to be accomplished, and if they were going to have their property on the other side, this was the conditions for them to be able to give their families the inheritance on that side. And so 40,000 of them had agreed to do this, and it would be 7 years of service. And in that service, being away from their homeland, being away from the land of their possession, and that meant being away from their families. Wow. What a commitment. What a blessing to be faithful to that type of a commitment. Verse 1 through 3, we find Joshua's acknowledgement of the faithful commitment of these soldiers. And you read that, and when you understand what had taken place, and now it was time, and they're being discharged, if you will, from service. They're going to be able to be given their time back to themselves. And so Joshua here, he first of all acknowledges their faithful commitment to accomplish what God had them there to accomplish. And I don't know about you, but it's always nice to have others acknowledge when you've sacrificed something for them. I mean, it's just the thing to do is when the ladies sacrifice their time to prepare a meal for you and then to be able to go and say thank you for the sacrifice, the time you spent. I know it just didn't come without effort, that somebody had to do everything that has to be done, whatever you have to do to be able to cook the type of meals and to be able to get things done. And it's always a blessing, ladies. I know you don't do it for the blessing, you don't do it for the acknowledgments, but it is a blessing to have your sacrifices acknowledged, whatever it is that we might do. Our motives is not to be acknowledged by man, if you're doing it in a Christian sense, but our motivation ought to come from our service to God. I love what Jesus taught in that book of Matthew. Let me just read this to you, but Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21, when he was given here the parable of the servants and the talents, and he says in verse 21, his Lord said unto him, when it's all said and done, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, what I've given you to accomplish on this earth in your lifetime, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. That's why we do it. In the Christian realm, understanding things, now, I mean, it's nice, it's a blessing to have your sacrifices acknowledged. But whether they're acknowledged or not, we ought to be willing and ready to do whatever it is that God had called us to do in our service. Because one of the things that you want to hear when your life is over, and you stand before the Savior, for Him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now they're hearing this from Joshua. After 7 years of sacrificing a relationship with their spouses, 7 years of their children growing up, so many things. This has actually happened. This is what they did. And so now Joshua is acknowledging that. And he says in verse 2, he said unto them, you have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. You allowed God to work through the commander-in-chief at this time of being Moses. You made this commitment on the other side underneath the commander-in-chief, Moses. And you had faith to know that Moses was following after God's instructions. But even though Moses was following after God's instructions, you can't see God, but you can see Moses. And he's the one that you're going to hear tell you what you need to do. And you were faithful to follow after and commit your commitment to Moses. And then he said, after that, he says, and he was the Moses, servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. Because Moses would come to the end of his service to God, and they still had a job to do, and so they had to now transfer their commitment to that they had made to God through Moses to making their commitment to Joshua. And Joshua says, I know that was not a easy thing to do. You would have loved to have finished out your commitment to Moses. And with him being your commander-in-chief, he's the one that called you. He's the one that gave you the instructions. And yes, he had a great impact on your life. And I want to acknowledge that, but I also want to acknowledge that you even went beyond that, and you have now you transferred that commitment to God through Moses to that transferring that to me to God through me, Joshua, who was called by God to be the next commander in chief. Although there needed to be a recommitment, Joshua acknowledged that they believed him to be the one that God placed there, and they were willing to fulfill their commitment to God to Moses through Joshua now. Isn't that good? You know, in the New Testament church, we have a commitment to Christ. When you get saved, you realize that He's my Savior. He's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. I understand that. But He's not physically here, and so He has under-shepherds for His church. And when the people come to His church, they have to commit to Christ through the leadership of that church. What we're seeing here, it's, again, this is biblical principle that Joshua is acknowledging to the soldiers who had committed to serving God and accomplishing what God wanted them to accomplish, and they sacrificed much. And so he's acknowledging their sacrifices, and as we serve the Lord, there's no doubt in this New Testament church age that God has established the church as a vehicle that he's going to work through throughout this 2,000 years and beyond into the rapture. It's a church that God has established. And in every generation, in every church, whether it be here in Indianapolis or Indiana, around the world, it's God's church, and you're committing to Christ, but you have to also be willing to commit to the commander-in-chief or who God has placed over his church as an under-shepherd to be able to guide you and to lead you to accomplish all that God has you here to accomplish. That's what we're finding here. And God says, and one day we're going to face the Lord, and he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, because you serve me, you finish your commitment to me through this pastor. And you stayed there possibly longer than the pastor stayed there, and so you reaffirmed your commitment to me through the next pastor. And no doubt that takes place. We're serving Christ. We might have been saved and committed to serving Christ through the leadership of someone that might not be around when your time is finished. But the church moves on. I've been here 37 years, and being able to see three generations of young people sitting right here for the most part. If not here in the old sanctuary, it's somewhat the same thing. We had the youth program. And a lot of the leaders in the church here today sat in that teen section in the old auditorium. And then they moved into this auditorium, and many of the church leaders, again, you sat here. And now your children are sitting here. And they continue to make commitments to serving Christ. They might have different leadership, and at some point it will be passed on to a Joshua. And so there has to be a recommitment to God through the leadership of Joshua. The Bible says in New Testament Christianity, the leadership that God has given to us, and you know these verses, but let me read them to you once again just to make sure that you do understand them. But in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, talking up to the church about the leadership of the church, he says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord." Now, God's the one you're looking to, but he has brought people into your life that's going to be over you, that's going to help you to mature, it's going to help you to understand the Bible, it's going to help you in your commitment to Christ. The under-shepherds, if you will, the pastors, are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them. Esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, because they cannot do the work that God has them to do in your life unless you have this kind of esteem for them, this kind of respect for them. Knowing that every every leader ought to work very hard to make it easy for people to respect you. Tell parents all the time. Make it easier for your children to honor you. Be honorable. You expect them to honor you and respect you, and you're not being honorable. You're not being respectable. You're not living a life that they can look to and to follow after. Listen to me, that's important for us as leaders to be able to do everything we can do to make sure that we are making it as easy as others can do and following the leadership that God has brought into their lives. Something I'm mindful about all the time. There's certain things that, and that's true with all of us, but other people don't need to know about you. Some people say, well, we want to be just like you. No, you don't. You want to be just like Christ. You don't know me like I know me. And there's things about me that I don't want anybody to follow after, because I'm still working on them. I'm still working to trying to get me to that place where I am more Christ-like in all these different areas, but I'm working on that because I know I have a position for others to look to in order to look to me to follow Christ, and I want to be as make it as easy as possible for people to esteem that position that I hold. If you hold a position, you ought to make it easier for people to esteem that position that you have. Wow. That's what he says. There, open the book of Hebrews. It's somewhat the same thing. And this is what Joshua is acknowledging to the people of the nation of Israel. You've been faithful to commit to Moses, to God through Moses. And you was even faithful to switch that now. And you're committing to God through Joshua. Hebrews in chapter 13. You know the verses here, but it's very powerful. The Bible reveals things to us concerning leadership. And he says to verse 13, chapter 13, verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. That's one of my responsibilities as an under-shepherd, as a pastor. That's what any of your responsibilities, if you have a leadership position over children, over your own children, listen, you're going to be responsible for that position that God has placed you over somebody else. For they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you, but they must give an account. God's given you a position for others to look to represent Him, you'll give an account for it. Every parent will give an account for not how their children turn out. You'll give an account for how you raise them. Every leader will give an account for how you have helped them, how you have the testimony that you had to help them to follow the will of God. Well, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, it says this, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourself to them. God's placed them there, and yet they're going to give an account for the placement that God has given to them. So that Joshua, knowing it's been 7 years, knowing that they have fulfilled their commitment to Moses and to Joshua, and realizing even the brethren, you have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. It was God's commandment, and you acknowledge that, but you acknowledge it through Moses, then you acknowledge it through Joshua, and you acknowledge it through having the children of Israel doing what God has you there to do. You was mindful that if you failed to do that, it would impact the rest of the children of Israel. But you were faithful to your commitment. Well done. And Joshua stands before him, and he's saying, well done. going to release you now. I'm going to discharge you from your duties, your responsibilities, your vows, your commitments. Verse 4. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren as he promised them. Therefore now return ye. I'm releasing you from that commitment. I'm releasing you from that vow, that obligation that you had. You've done well. You're gonna reap the reward in heaven for doing that. You've done well. Not been easy. I know it's been hard. But return ye now. Get you unto your tents and unto the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of Jordan. We need to be committed to accomplishing everything that God would have us to accomplish until it's done. I'm thinking, parents raising children, I don't think you ever are done, but you're done with the authority over them at some point. Because they're going to establish their own family. They're going to establish their own home. And now, just don't hinder that. Don't get in the way of them establishing their own home. Let them establish their home as God wants them to establish their home. You've done your part. You have been the right example, possibly, hopefully. You have been the right authority that they needed. But now it's time to let them establish their own home. And you move on to what God has for you next. Spoiling your grandkids. What else? God didn't tell me that I have to spank my grandchildren. I'm supposed to support their parents, but I don't have to do that. I get to spoil them, send them home for the disciplinary actions. Yeah. That's a blessing of being a grandpa, right? I mean, my commitment to being their authority has ended. My responsibility of being an influence will never end. I will never be discharged from that. As long as I live, I need to maintain my influence over those whom God has given to me to raise. Wow. So now he says, it's done. Well done. But your life's not over. Just that phase of your life is over. Focus on what's next. He's reminding them of what hopefully they would have understood would have been next. Go home. Your family needs you. They've sacrificed for 7 years. Go home. You can't make up for that. There's no making up for that. But go home and make the best out of what's left. Build your homes. They're still in tents. Go home to your tents. You see, because that's what you left there. Now go home and get out of the tents and build them a house. Go home and understand this is what's next for you concerning the will of God for your lives. And so you've accomplished this area of it. Praise God for that. Well done. But it's not over. What's next? There's always something next until God calls us home. Finish whatever's next. And then as you finish that, if you're still here, there's something else to follow that. God might give you 95 years. I play in a men's tournament at Smock Golf Course. There's a man there, Joe, 96 years old, and he still plays golf out there. 96. hits the ball 150 yards, chips on one putts. He got a par about every time. I tell him, I said, Joe, you are an inspiration. That means I've still got another 30 years of playing golf, possibly. Yeah. Only God knows. As long as we're here, there's something next. Focus on accomplishing everything that God has you to accomplish with what's next. And then he gives them this counsel, which is powerful counsel. Just go home. This is what's next. Well done. You've accomplished this phase of your life. You've done that. You sacrificed. God is well pleased with you. You served under Moses. You served under me. You're serving God. Whatever has happened, you've rolled with the punches, if you will. You've accomplished what you vowed to commit to. But that commitment's over now. I'm releasing you from that commitment, but I'm challenging you to be all that you can be in the next phase. Go home. But take diligent heed. Because you're going to go home and you're going to have a tendency to just stop. Because it's a different lifestyle. You've been used to soldier's life. You've been in battle. You've been fighting the Goliaths. You've done everything you can, and you have defeated all the kings of the promised land. You've seen a lot. You've experienced a lot. And you've done good. But beware, because when you transition into something else, you might have a tendency to slack off and not accomplish everything that can be accomplished in a different phase of your life. There's things that are just as important that God wants you to accomplish in this next stage of your life, in this next commitment. Don't lose sight of that. Take diligent heed. He would not have said take diligent heed if there would not be a temptation to do something that they shouldn't have done, or to fall into a trap that Satan might set for them. Take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you. And he reminds him, as you go back home, take heed. And you're going to take heed by doing these things. Love the Lord your God. Yeah. To love the Lord your God. In all of these, the end, it says this, with all your heart, with all your soul. Jesus repeated that commandment. He actually took the Ten Commandments and he put it down into two. But the greatest of all the commandments was love the Lord your God. Jude records this for us. Jude is a second to the last book of the Bible. In verse 22, Jude says this. But ye beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, in verse 20, praying in the Holy Ghost, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Something that every one of us need to do individually that no one else can do for us, and that is to keep yourself in the love of God. Don't lose your love for God. Change of life, change of responsibilities. Don't lose your love for God. Only you can keep yourself in your love for God. And what's most important for you in every phase of your life is acknowledge God. So Joshua says, well done, you've done all this, now you're going home, I'm releasing you. When you get home, love the Lord your God. He's real. He has a purpose and a plan for your life. Keep yourself in the love of God. Then he says after that, he says, walk. And to walk in all his ways. All of us possibly have come across people in churches and in ministry and maybe even at work that claim to be saved, family members who claim to be saved, and they talk a good talk, but they fail to walk the walk. He says, don't do that. You've been around God enough, and you've been around the influence of God and all the things. If you know the words, you have the vocabulary of Christianity. But you need to have more than just the vocabulary. You need to have the heart. Not only talk the talk, but to walk the walk. Then he says the third thing here. And to keep his commandments. Amen. To keep. Don't allow yourself to slip away and justify a different style of life. Hebrews in chapter 2, let me read this to you, and I'm getting to the end here, so just follow. Get a hold of the last little bit here. But in the book of Hebrews in chapter 2, I love what the Bible says. Therefore, verse 1, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Don't allow yourself to let it slip. Keep. Love the Lord your God. Walk according to his ways and keep his commandments. The fourth thing he says to do, and to cleave unto him. Yeah. To cleave unto him. And I use this because this is part of the vows of marriage that God has given to couples. Cleave one to another. I tell them that means to get as close to each other and to hold on. Somewhat the same here, but to cleave means to remain loyal. Remain loyal. Don't allow yourself to fall into temptations. And lose sight of your loyalty. Your commitment of loyalty to Christ. Over the years, I've seen that happen and destroy marriages because you didn't work on cleaving. And because you weren't cleaving one to another, you allowed yourself to be tempted. And because of the temptations, you were unloyal. Unfaithful. Yeah. Cleave. I love that. That's his counsel. And then the last thing he counsels, to serve him And there it is, with all your heart and with all your soul, to serve. Serve him there just like you've served him here. Remember how hard it might have been those nights laying under a tent, knowing that your family was back miles away, knowing that you were not going to see them certain ages of life for 7 years. And yet you was able to accomplish it. If you accomplished it here, you can accomplish it there. Don't lose sight of service. Serve him. See, serving Christ is a lifetime commitment. There's different stages, under maybe different leaderships. But for every Christian, it's a lifetime of service. And you know what service is? Just doing whatever it is that God says to do. Well, how am I supposed to serve God? Well, first of all, you get baptized after you get saved and you receive Christ as your Savior. That's service to God, because you're doing what God tells you to do. You're going to identify with him. Then you're going to be discipled. Then you're going to become a part of the local New Testament church. And then you're going to serve God in the church. You're going to use your talents. You're going to use your gifts, your spiritual gifts. And then you're going to do what I've told you to do. If you got a husband, you're going to be all you can be as a wife. If you got a wife, you're going to be all you can be as a husband. You raise children, then you're going to be the authority over your children, and you're going to raise them and be respectable and be honorable to make it easier for them to respect you and honor you, and you're going to continue to serve me until it's done. Until you have fulfilled your commitment and what you committed to is over. But then once that's over, understand, if you're still alive, there is a next. And so then be recommitted to whatever is next until you've fulfilled all that and committed all that. And then once you finish with that, if you're still here, there's something next. And just continue for the rest of your life. He's been faithful to do whatever it is, you know, God has commanded you to do. Like if every head bowed. What great counsel. What great leadership. How we need to learn from it. Yeah. Father, we bow before you tonight, and we thank you for the truths of your word. We thank you for this testimony of Joshua, and for you recording it for us and helping us to have a better understanding of it, how he addressed the 2.5 tribes for their faithful commitment, their loyalty to their God. Help us to be faithful and to commit to accomplishing all that you have for us to accomplish in our life. Bless now this invitation. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.